The Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, I'm back from my vacation in Palm Springs. Had a nice little time there. Took this cool thing called an air tram up a mountain. And it takes about 15 minutes to get up there. Trucks up there pretty fast, a lot faster than I expected. And when you pass by each little tower that's holding up the cables, it actually swings you back and forth a little bit. So that's a crazy feeling. But once you get to the top, it's a spectacular view of Palm Springs down below. You're so high up there that it's fucking freezing as hell, which sucked, but hey, we were only up there for like an hour, so it wasn't that big of a deal, but, it was pretty cool. It was a nice little trip, nice little getaway too, perfect timing since we are now officially stuck in sports purgatory, which sucks ass, but it happens. Always after the Super Bowl and right before March Madness, this in-between time, it's, not a lot going on during sport, or with sports, so, good time to take some time off, but today's show, I will break it down into discussing the three main sports of football, baseball, and basketball, and I'll bring up five topics on each sport, and then also the couple of little things that happened while I was gone. So first, starting in the NFL, the last couple of head coaching spots have been filled. The Indianapolis Colts hired Shane Steichen, the Philadelphia Eagles offensive coordinator, as their coach. And then the Arizona Cardinals hired Jonathan Gannon, the Philadelphia Eagles defensive coordinator, as their head coach. So the last two head coaching positions have now officially been filled. So that's the end of that. And now we can officially get on with the offseason. And I've written down the top five NFL offseason storylines. And they're really going to be the five topics of players, but they are going to be good storylines for the offseason, beginning with Lamar Jackson. What is going to happen with Lamar Jackson? So he is officially a free agent. Of course, the Baltimore Ravens, they can franchise tag him. They're, of course, working on a contract right now, but who knows what's going to happen. But obviously, I feel like the Ravens for sure are going to franchise tag him. And then they're going to see what happens from there. But there's rumblings that the Ravens might actually trade him if they franchise tag him, which is just crazy to me. So it's there's a possibility that Lamar Jackson may end up somewhere else instead of with the Baltimore Ravens, which is just totally crazy to me just because he's such a great quarterback. I don't know why you'd want to give him up. Apparently, though, he's looking for Deshaun Watson type of money, but he deserves that because A, he's had a better career than Deshaun Watson. He also hasn't gotten in trouble like Deshaun Watson, but that's what the Cleveland Browns did, is they set that precedent by giving Watson that big ass guaranteed contract. Well, all the upcoming quarterbacks who are going to be in contract negotiations, they're going to do the same thing that he did, and that's basically what Jackson's doing right now. And so we'll see what happens. I feel like he's going to end up with Baltimore, but there's rumblings that he's going to go somewhere else, so that'd be very interesting to see if he does go somewhere else, but I feel like he's going to end up back in Baltimore. Then the second storyline that I think that's going to be intriguing the NFL offseason is going to be what happens with Derek Carr. He's officially a free agent right now. So he's shopping around, interviewing with teams right now, seeing who wants to sign him. So he's obviously the biggest free agent prize out there right now. And, you know, he's visited with the Saints. There's rumblings he's going to end up with the Jets. So we'll see what happens with Derek Carr. Whoever gets Derek Carr is getting a solid quarterback and a good leader. So we'll see what happens with Derek Carr and where he ends up, but that's definitely going to be a big storyline in the NFL this offseason. Then another player in the offseason who is going to be a big storyline is the running back Josh Jacobs, who was also with the Las Vegas Raiders this past season. He was the leading rusher this year, so he's going to be looking for some big bucks, as he should be. A lot of people are hesitant to give running backs the big money, but you kind of have to do it. That's just what happens with the market. You just got to pay what the market dictates. And Josh Jacobs, he's coming off of one of his best seasons of his career, but he's also very consistent, and he's been very consistent the last, three seasons for sure. So he's definitely going to be garnering some attention, and he's definitely going to be getting some money. So it's going to be interesting to see where he ends up. Then the fourth NFL offseason storyline is Aaron Rodgers. What's going to go on with this dude? He's apparently coming at just came out of his darkness retreat this last week, which was apparently for him to reflect on what he's going to do with the future of his football career. So I guess we're going to be finding out whether he's retiring or not. And if he does if he doesn't retire and he does come back, there's also word that he may get traded from the Packers. He does have a no-trade clause, so he's going to, if he does get traded, he's going to get to pick where he wants to go. But I don't know. I kind of feel like he's going to stay with the Packers. This kind of seems to be the thing the last couple of seasons where there is drama with Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. It just kind of seems to be their thing. So I don't know if this is just more bullshit, more drama. Just who the hell knows what's going to happen. But it would be interesting to see if Aaron Rodgers goes somewhere, because these last couple of seasons, you know, Russell Wilson got traded last year. Matt Stafford got traded the year before. So there seems to be movement with big-time quarterbacks over the last couple of years. So wouldn't it be surprising to see both Lamar Jackson and Aaron Rodgers get traded? But at the same time, I feel like that's kind of stupid. Especially by the Packers. I mean, who are you going to go with? Jordan Love? That guy looks like he's going to be a bag of trash, in my opinion. He hasn't shown anything in the few starts he's had. So I don't really see what the Packers have, unless they're maybe going to draft somebody else, or maybe go after a Garoppolo or a Derek Carr. But they're going to have to pay big money. So I just kind of feel like if you're going to go after one of them, you might as well just keep Aaron Rodgers, because I don't know, Derek Carr is going to be asking for a lot of money himself. So I really don't see what other options the Packers have. But Aaron Rodgers would definitely have options. Suitors that would be interested. The Packers have said they want to move him to the AFC. They don't want to move him anywhere in the NFC. So one potential landing spot would be the Tennessee Titans, and I think that would be a great fit for him. They already have a pretty solid defense. They have a good coach. Offensively, they're okay. They do have Derrick Henry. They don't have a lot of wide receiver options. But that's one of the potential landing spots for him if he does get moved. But I don't know if Aaron Rodgers is going to move. If I'm betting on this, I'm thinking Aaron Rodgers is going to stay with the Packers. And then my last storyline for the NFL offseason is Jalen Ramsey, the cornerback of the Los Angeles Rams. There's rumblings that the Rams are potentially going to try and trade him away, just because he's got a pretty heavy-duty contract, so they're looking to unload some of those big contracts that they have. They did just release Bobby Wagner, the linebacker who they just picked up last year. They paid him some heavy dollars, and they just released him earlier this week. So there's the potential that they're going to trade away Jalen Ramsey. And if they do, Jalen Ramsey has not lost a step. He's still one of the top cornerbacks in the league. So in my opinion, there's going to be plenty of people looking for him. And in my personal opinion, I'm hoping one of those suitors would actually be the Dallas Cowboys, because that's one of the spots that they could use some help in. Just because, man, him and Diggs in that secondary, that would be excellent. So we'll see what happens if Jalen Ramsey gets moved at all, or if he ends up staying put in Los Angeles. But I'd say there's a good chance that he's going to be traded this offseason. All right, now moving on to basketball. The only major news that happened this week was Atlanta fired their head coach, Nate McMillan. Not much of a surprise, just because there's been obvious infighting between him and Trey. Oh God, I'm drawing a blank on his last name, but Trey Young. Sorry about that. Trey Young, their top point guard, and there's been issues with them all season long, and Atlanta hasn't really been that good of a team, so them firing him is not much of a shock. And now there's talks that they're actually going to be hiring Quinn Snyder any day, the ex-coach of the Utah Jazz. So we'll see what happens there, but no surprise there. But other than that, it was the All-Star break. We just got back from the All-Star break last night, had a couple of games last night. So not much went on this week in the NBA. So here are my top five NBA second half storylines to look out for. Starting with number one, which is Kevin Durant and the Suns. What is going to happen here? He's supposed to be making his debut here any day now, apparently, for the Suns. So we'll see if this makes a difference. I'm sure it's going to make a difference. I don't know if it makes them a championship contender, just because you don't know how they're going to gel, if they're even going to make a good team together. While Kevin Durant is an excellent basketball player, Devin Booker is an excellent basketball player, Chris Paul, DeAndre Ayton, these are all excellent basketball players, but are they going to work well together? We will find out. But I definitely think it's going to be an intriguing storyline because Kevin Durant's one of the best players in the league, and I definitely think this is a huge difference maker, especially for next year, so because they will have like a full year together. But we'll see if it makes a difference this year because the Western Conference is completely up for grabs. And I'm looking forward to seeing what Kevin Durant does in a Phoenix Suns uniform. But I think he's definitely going to make them a better team. But will he make them a championship-level team? So, you know, the Suns have been struggling this first half of the season, especially the last couple of months. They've been battling through injuries. But we'll see what happens once Kevin Durant gets back, if he's healthy, what kind of a player he still is. But the good thing is all the pressure won't be on him. So I think this is going to be a pretty good match, if you ask me. But I don't know if it makes him a championship contender just yet, just because we haven't seen what they look like playing together. Then the second half storyline in the NBA topic that I have is the Eastern Conference. Who is going to win the Eastern Conference? Now, the Eastern Conference this year, to me, is the superior conference as opposed to the Western Conference, because the East is just stacked with powerhouse teams this year. You got the Boston Celtics, you have the Milwaukee Bucks, and you have the Philadelphia 76ers. All three teams playing at championship levels. They've been the most consistent teams all season long. All three of them actually have had to battle through major injuries to some of their major players, but they also have MVP-level players right now. You have the Celtics, who have Jason Tatum, who's playing at an MVP level. You have the Bucks, who have Giannis, who's playing at an MVP level. And then you have the 76ers, who have Embiid, who's playing at an MVP level. So you have three of the top players in the league playing at high levels right now. And these are all championship-level competitive teams. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens in the Eastern Conference and who ultimately ends up winning the Eastern Conference and who ends up going to the NBA Finals and ultimately probably winning the championship, because the West, I don't know what the fuck's going to happen there. And so that takes me to topic number three in my NBA second-half storylines. In the Western Conference, who the hell's going to win it, and who the hell wants to win it? Right now, the top three teams are the Denver Nuggets, the Memphis Grizzlies, and the Sacramento Kings. Now, while the Kings have been one of the most consistent teams so far this season, do we really believe in them? But that's what I think about the Denver Nuggets. The Denver Nuggets have been one of the best teams in the league this year, but do we really believe in them? And even though Jokic, he's having yet another MVP-type season, I don't know if I believe in this team once the playoffs begin. And then the Grizzlies, they're looking really good, but they're battling through their injury issues right now too. So if they get some guys back from injury, we'll see if they're back to their dominating ways. But the Western Conference is so up and down. There isn't a really dominating team. There isn't a really powerhouse team in the Western Conference. And it's anything is up for grabs. There are so many teams who are so far behind in the West, but they could easily move up because it's just it's a shit show right now in the West. Whereas the East, there's so many fucking good ass teams, and it's usually the opposite. Usually the Western Conference is dominating. But this year, the East is just dominating, and the West looks like straight trash. And the West has looked really bad the last couple of months. And so we'll see what happens here. I don't really believe in any Western Conference team as opposed to the Eastern Conference, where, like I said, you've got Boston, Milwaukee, and Philadelphia. Those are all three powerhouse teams. And in the West, it's really just Denver, Memphis, and everybody else. Then my fourth topic in the NBA second half storylines is Kyrie Irving and the Mavs. Is he going to be the difference maker, or is he going to throw a temper tantrum and shit his diapers like he always does? So far, he's shut up and played basketball, as he should. And so far, it hasn't been too bad. It's really going to be the playoffs. And as I said, the Western Conference is completely up for grabs right now. So the Mavericks should absolutely make the playoffs. It's just going to be what happens come playoff time. And so do they make the Western Conference Finals or even the Finals just because of how bad the Western Conference is this year? But we'll see what happens there. Is he the difference maker there with Luka? You know, Luka's been having a phenomenal year himself, so we'll see what happens there. But Kyrie Irving and the Mavs, that should be a good second-half storyline in the NBA. And then finally, rounding out my top five NBA second-half storylines, will the Golden State Warriors even make the playoffs? Now, they are the defending champs, and right now they are below 500. They're 29-30. They actually just lost to the shitty-ass Lakers last night, and that says a lot because while the Lakers had made some moves, they still look like a pretty awful-ass team, and they're going to be, it's going to be shocking if they make the playoffs. But yeah, the Golden State Warriors got smashed by the Lakers last night, and they really haven't looked good. Yes, Steph Curry's been injured, so that's something they have to overcome. But even beyond him, they've just looked really bad this season. They haven't looked in sync at all, and they're the defending champions. So that's why it's like, will they make the playoffs? It's a big deal. Plus, as I keep saying, the Western Conference sucks. So if you don't make the playoffs in the Western Conference, that means you're not only a shitty team, but you're a really shitty fucking team. And right now, the Golden State Warriors are actually on the outside looking in the playoffs if they were to start today. And being 29-30, below 500, that's not very good. So that's a big deal to me if the defending champs not only not make the playoffs, but don't even have a chance to defend their title, and they don't look good at all. So even if they do make the playoffs, they're probably not going to make much of a dent if they do make the playoffs. And so those are my top five NBA second-half storylines for the NBA. And now moving on to baseball, I'm going to do the top five baseball teams that I think potentially could win the World Series or have the best shot at winning the World Series this year. Beginning with the New York Yankees, I think they made a huge improvement this year. They did exactly what they needed to do this year because my big problem with them last year was their starting pitching. I knew they weren't going to be able to get through the entire season with that starting pitching lineup. They just had a very mediocre starting pitching lineup because once you got past Cole and Cortez, it was questionable. Well, this year they added Carlos Rodon in the offseason, and he actually had one of the best seasons last year for the San Francisco Giants. So they picked up the probably one of the best prospect or one of the best free agents in on the market this year. And so I feel like the Yankees starting pitching is solid now. I feel like their bullpen was actually good last year, so that's probably going to continue on into this year. And then, of course, you got Aaron Judge still. You still got LeMahieu. You still have Stanton. You still have that stacked lineup that you had last year. So I think the Yankees are poised to actually win the World Series this year as a legit contender. Because these last couple of years, they've been a contender, but I didn't think they were going to be a World Series contender. I thought they were just going to make the playoffs and be done with it as they were. And so this year, I actually think they are the top World Series contender. Then my second World Series contender is the Atlanta Braves. I think they're the most complete team overall. They have the best starting pitching lineup in the league with Fried, Morton, Strider, and then you've got Soroka coming back. He missed all of last year, and he had a phenomenal year before that when they won the World Series. I actually believe he got injured before the World Series, so he didn't even get to play in the World Series, but he was having a phenomenal year before then. And then you've got Austin Riley, and you've got Acuna. So this team is just stacked. And while they did lose Jansen, their closer, so that's probably going to be their only questionable spot right now, at least at this point. I just kind of feel like the Braves are one of the most complete teams in the league, and definitely the best team in the National League. Then my third team to watch World Series contention is the Houston Astros. They are the defending champs. Now they did lose Justin Verlander to the New York Mets, so that's definitely going to take a chunk out of their starting pitching. But I mean, other than that, they didn't really lose much. They still have Valdez, they still have Javier, and then they still have Alvarez, who's coming off of a career year, and then they have Peña, their rookie, who's the rookie of the year, who had a spectacular postseason. He's only going to get better. So I just kind of feel like the Astros are just going to pick up right where they left off. And while it is difficult to repeat, they've got a great shot at repeating this year. So I don't think you can count the Astros out at all. Then the fourth team to watch for World Series contender this year is the New York Mets. They made a bunch of big moves this offseason. I mean, their starting pitching is phenomenal. They picked up Verlander, as I said. So if he continues what he did last year, he's going to be phenomenal. Then you've got Scherzer, who's a great pitcher. So you got two of probably the best pitchers of this era pitching for them. Then you have Carrasco, who had a resurgent year last year. So if he's able to just kind of pick up where he left off last year and continue that on, I think the Mets starting pitching is going to be phenomenal. Their bullpen was one of the best last year. So that's... there's going to be no issues there. And then, of course, you've got Alonso and Lindor. So I just kind of feel like the Mets are going to be one of the best teams in the National League this year and definitely a World Series contender. And then the last team in the teams to watch for World Series contention this year, I have the stupid-ass Dodgers, because you always got to have the Dodgers. They re-signed Clayton Kershaw, so they're still going to have him. And then, you know, they've got Urias and Gonsolin, who they had great years last year. Gonsolin had to deal with injuries. But other than that, you know, the Dodgers didn't really lose a step. They still have Mookie Betts. They still have Freddie Freeman. So they're still a damn good-ass team. And I really don't expect the Dodgers to lose a step. So I still expect them to be one of the top teams in the league and definitely a World Series contender this year. And so those are my top five teams to watch this season as potential World Series contenders. And today we're actually going to end the show with something I haven't had to had to talk about in a minute, but we have some retarded hysteria of the day. Now, it happened a week ago, but it was so fucking stupid that I, of course, have to talk about it on the show. So basically when I landed in Palm Springs last week, I was visiting some friends who live in Palm Springs. So when I landed, I went and hung out with some friends, and, one of my friends, he brought up, this prank that, Tiger Woods had played on, a fellow golfer, named Justin Thomas. I guess last week there was a golf tournament. I'm not a golf fan, so I don't really pay attention to what's going on in golf, but I just thought this was hilarious when he told me. But basically what happened was, Tiger Woods was partnered with Justin Thomas, and Tiger Woods hit the ball farther than Justin Thomas. And after they both teed off, Tiger Woods turns to Justin Thomas and hands him something, and they both start laughing and walk off. And come to find out, what Tiger Woods happened to hand to Justin Thomas was a tampon. And when my friend told me this, who was a male, and I'm a female, I started laughing my fucking ass off because I thought that shit was hilarious. I'm like, oh my God, that's hilarious. Because just so you're all aware, any male friends of mine, I am completely emasculating to all the time. I will call them girls or say, are you like, for example, here's a perfect example. If I'm with a guy, one of my guy friends or just a coworker or somebody I know who is a male and he orders tea, I usually look at them and go, what, are you on your period? Because in my opinion, if you're ordering tea, that's a fucking girly thing to do. And so that's usually what I will say to a male friend of mine. As a matter of fact, the male friend of mine who told me this story last week, and I laughed my ass off hysterically, he is a friend of mine who I jive all the time. And I call him a girl. I call him gay. I rib him because that's what friends do, especially male friends and somebody like me, because I do have more male tendencies. I have more of a male sense of humor. I've always been more into guys things, hence why I'm heavily into sports. So that's the kind of sense of humor I have, is, and I've always done this to male friends where we've just kind of made fun of each other. And one of the things we do is you call them girly things. And I'm sorry, it's the truth. And when it comes to things like golf, men physically hit the ball further than women. They always have. It's a proven fact. Many years ago, there was the best golfer in the world, Annika Sorenstam. She won every women's golf tournament. She was the Tiger Woods of women's golf. And they actually allowed her to play in a couple of men's tournaments years ago. And she couldn't even compete. And the reason why is just because women's and men's bodies are different. That's a fact. That's not being mean. That's not being rude. And it's not hating women. But when people found out that Tiger Woods handed a tampon to Justin Thomas, you should have seen some of the fucking retarded articles I was reading about how egregious this was and how horrible Tiger Woods is. He has a 15-year-old daughter. This is so rude. And I'm laughing at the reaction. I was laughing harder at these crybaby reactions than I was to the actual joke. I mean, y'all want to talk about his 15-year-old daughter? Where the fuck do you think he got that tampon? He probably got that tampon from his 15-year-old daughter. He said, whatever your name is, hey girl, do you have some tampons? Because I'm going to bring them to the course today as a joke. If Justin happens to, I'm partnered up with Justin today. So if he happens to hit something shorter than me, I'm going to hand him a tampon. His daughter probably fucking laughed and said, excuse me, probably laughed and said, yeah, tell Justin I said what up. And here you go, dad. So to bring his daughter into it, shut the fuck up. That's stupid. And also, it's not sexist. It's hilarious. That shit is fucking funny as hell. I mean, in my opinion, if you are upset about that, you need to get real fucking problems. You need to fucking go to the Middle East and find out what it's like to be a woman over there, that, as opposed to, oh my God, Tiger Woods handed a tampon to Justin Thomas. That's so sexist. No, it's not. It's fucking funny, is what it is. That shit's hilarious, especially to people with a sense of humor. Now, if you don't find it funny, just, you don't have a sense of humor. That is what it is, but don't demand Tiger Woods apologize. And he gave the world's most half-ass apology too, by the way. He just said, this is just me paraphrasing it. He basically said, if you're offended, I'm sorry. So basically, if you're offended, go fuck yourself. And really, if you were offended by that, go fuck yourself. Really, it wasn't a big deal. Oh my God, he handed a tampon to his friend. That is what people do with our friends. And if you don't, you gotta fucking stick up your ass. And now that I fucking said, you've got to stick up your ass, that you're going to call me a homophobe because I'm talking about things being stuck in your ass, even though that's not the truth. But Jesus Christ, that's the route we're going here, where it's just like, good Lord, dudes can't have fun on the golf course. And really, that was light. If you hear some of the shit me and my guy friends, hell, even me and some of my girlfriends talk about, you would need to rip your fucking ears off if you're offended by dudes handing each other a tampon and then laughing about it. Because real talk, I'm pretty fucking offensive. As you've heard, if you're listening to this or my music, you know. But real talk, if you hear my conversations with me and some of my friends, it's a lot more offensive than handing each other a tampon. But that's just fucking ridiculous. And when I saw that, I was like, oh, that's perfect retarded hysteria of the day. Perfect topic for that, because that was stupid. And I can't believe people were upset about it. And in some of the articles I was reading, I was really just laughing my ass off at just the reaction that some of these high horse motherfuckers with their pinky out sipping tea, shoving tampons up their fucking asses, crying about this shit. I'm like, really? Get real fucking problems. So that is the retarded hysteria of the day. Tiger Woods handing a tampon to one of his friends because he hit the ball further. That's what you do on the golf course. That's what you do with friends. So hate to break the news to you unfun people with no sense of humor, but that's just how it is. So anyways, y'all, enjoy the weekend of sports, the little bit of sports that we do have. We do have a shit ton of basketball on tap, so that's great. And all the UFC big fights are coming up here in the next couple of weeks too, so look out for those. But until then, I will talk to you fools on Monday.